Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We welcome in Eric Meehan. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. And I say afternoon because it feels like afternoon. It doesn't feel like evening.
No,
it
just
nice,
feels
right?
Like an afternoon in the Arctic Circle.
Don't go outside.
Oh.
See, this is the thing that people make this great mistake about going outside. God, that's a terrible idea. I've had to do it several times today for the dog. Oh.
What does Greta think of that?
Yeah, there's nothing quite like the look of a dog when you go out in that sort of weather first thing in the morning after they've been like curled up all, you know, all night. And it's just like, really? You want to go out there? Like, no, I don't want to go out there. I want you to go out there, but I've got to go out there with you in order to make sure that you do what you need to do so that I can go to work. How do you explain that to a dog at 6:30 a.m. and feel, what is it, the quote, real feel is negative 20? Delightful. Anyway, I've discovered all sorts of, you know, new ways of identifying potential hazards ahead, ice-wise, but the new thing that actually has popped up in our neighborhood is that we have skunks.
Oh, boy, that time of year, yeah.
Yeah, they live a couple blocks away, and I have to be, like, spidey sense, like, you know, looking for... I'm very glad that my nose is trained, because the minute you catch a whiff, you're like, all right, spidey senses. And then you'll just... I mean, and they're adorable. They're just kind of ambling across the road, you know, from under barn to under barn. But, damn them. You know, it's just not what you need at 6:30 in the morning when you're trying to rub the sleep out of your
but
eye.
But see, this is why I say having a dog... get you on top of your game. You've got to be aware at all times.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a fair counterpunch. That's a problem for me, but we'll work it out. all right. So, new month, new topic. This is the month I call Check Out That Package.
Hello.
Packaging options. Yes, sir. this is all about how that delicious liquid gets from big oak foudres, et cetera, to your glass. And that's a fairly important thing. And it's a thing that is changing rapidly. And, of course, we'll talk about that. But today, as perhaps the lead-in indicated, we're talking about bottles. Bottles are sort of the industry standard. Whether they will remain that in the future, we'll see. And we'll talk about that later this month. But just kind of like to... start this off with, you know, the format that is standard, that everybody knows, and talk about how not standard it was back in the day. Bottles and bottle sizes and bottle shapes are a topic that retailers love to hate or hate to love. People get fanciful with their bottles. I often say that if I ran the wine world, all wine would be who come in, you know, one, and now I've amended it because I believe in the metric system, they would all be in 1 liter bottles, all of which would be the quote Bordeaux style, which is the like flat that you can stack and you can do whatever with. It makes sense geometrically. However, that is not what industry types have chosen to do. If you come into our store, you will see any number of fancy bottles that it looks like we have no stock on, because I can't possibly, if anybody, you know, if you've been in the store, you know that we have these shelves that have sort of a four stack behind a display bottle, and you can't stack these things. You can't even stack two of them. So it's a very sort of awkward thing. You have to have all your back stock, and it makes you look like you have, so it's a terrible thing for a retailer. And I'm getting that off my chest. Let's talk about glass. First produced glass was made around 3000 BC in northern Syria. But that has nothing to do with our discussion, but just thought you'd like to know. It wasn't until the Romans, they liked wine. Yeah, until the Romans came along that they really started doing the glass blowing, that you had bottles and hence vessels for wine. But the glass that they were making wasn't really that strong. It was very delicate. So when you had bottles, they had to be wrapped in straw. And so the more useful thing at the time, and I'm sure anybody who's into history knows this, was ceramic amphoras that were both used to age the wine as well as to transport the wine. That was a much, much more common way of getting wine around, and then you would go with your jug or whatever and fill it from that. However, in the 17th century, coal-burning furnaces arrived, and that made for hotter temperatures, which allowed thicker glass to be produced, which meant more durable bottles. Super. Conveniently, at the same time, on the Iberian Peninsula, right, so Portugal, which is the world's predominant supplier of cork, the use of cork as a closure method was being developed. And indeed, it is from the Iberian Peninsula that the famous, you know, the story goes that Dom Perignon, the brother, you know, brother Dom, went down there and came back with cork closure and hoocha champagne. So, you know, that's a story, not the point, but that's where cork came from. And so 17th century, right? And then by the 1730s, right, just very shortly after, you had wine that was starting to be aged. And they started to discover that the best way to age it was to store it on its side with a cork. So that started to create a need for things that were indeed, like I was sort of referring to earlier in the retail market, things that are a little easier to store like that. So you had a lot of shorter, rounder bottles. If anybody's ever been in like the Pfalz region of Germany or, you know, the sort of southern wine regions in Germany, they had these sort of squat round bottles that you'll still see. But those kind of got to be phased out in favor of these longer flat-sided ones. And that's cool. However, the problem was, that forever, and this is again something I alluded to earlier, I said that, you know, if I ran the wine world, everything would be in 1 liter bottles, right? Well, there are certain things that are in 1 liter bottles, and that's kind of neat, but the standardization that we have here is a 750 milliliter bottle, in case anybody didn't know that. That's our standard, 750 mils. And so a half bottle, you have to start doing math, is 375, but at least the metric system. At least it's the metric system. When they start to try and convert it, and they have done this in beer, for instance, if anybody has ever bought a 25.4-ounce bottle of, you know, cork and cap-aged beer usually, you know, from a place like Allagash has their you know, Curio and stuff like that, 25.4 is sort of a cumbersome number, but that's because they decided to try and, you know, not go with the metric system, not go with what the Europeans were doing. I don't know why or why, you know, why you choose to do that, but America. But it was indeed, it didn't, the standardization of 750 mils was not really until 1979. And indeed, it was the U.S. that set that standard, and then the rest of the world just kind of followed along, because by 1979, the U.S. was such a growing and important market, not just, of course, in wine, but, you know, in everything. And so, you know, we kind of laid that down, but at least again, and like I said, we did it in metric system. So good for us. Learned something. As far as bottle sizes go, just as, so people kind of know, obviously, like I said, the standard one is the 750 bottle. A magnum is what we referred to as a bottle that holds twice that amount, right? So 1.5 liters. There are larger formats. All in biblical king names, for reasons that are beyond me right now. But you have the Jeroboam, right, which is the equivalent of four bottles. You have the Methuselah, which is the equivalent of eight bottles. The Salmanazar, which is the equivalent of 12 bottles. The Balthazar, 16 bottles. And lastly, the Nebuchadnezzar, 20 bottles.
Oh.
Why would you put stuff in that? Well, not only presentation, folks, but the fact of the matter is, and I should bring half bottles into this discussion really quick, is that wine ages and things oxidize slower when there's less oxygen per, you know, parts per million. So if you have a big tank of something, of your Cabernet, it's going to age a lot slower than a small little bottle, like a half bottle. So if you ever want to, you know, kind of do a weird little experiment, buy a half bottle and a full bottle and a magnum of a certain vintage of a wine, sit on them for 10 years and then try them and see the difference. It's kind of cool. And back when we can get back into this quasi normal, whatever that's going to mean, and we can, you know, gather again and convivialize, there are certainly tasting opportunities to go out and do things like that, you know, wine dinners where they'll do something like that. And it's a lot of fun. So do check that out. Before I run out of time, I would like to throw a couple pitches in for things that are coming up. Tonight at 6 p.m. On the Facebook channel of the Downtown Bangor Partnership, we are going to be doing the Destination Downtown Bangor Downtown Doggo Edition. It's going to be with Barry Newport from the Penobscot Theater, of course, who used to live downtown with a wonderful little dog named Max. She recently moved out to Hamden, but she can certainly fill us in on owning a dog, as well as they're having dog opera.
Yes.
She's going to fill us in on that delightful thing. And then we're also going to have Christina, who owns Pleasantly Pampered Dog Grooming, which is a new and very well-regarded, very quickly, downtown business. So we're going to be, by the way, relevant if nothing else, we're going to be talking skunk baths, which is one of her featured items. So, folks, do check that out. Destination Downtown has been such a big hit and a lot of fun to do. And we're making plans for our next edition in a couple months as well. But this one should be a lot of fun for anybody who loves dogs. And I know there's just a couple of us out there. And then, of course, at the store, we're working on a couple upcoming tastings as well with the Bertani's, Bertani Estate and the Perrin family. More to come on that, but I'll be taping those in the next couple weeks. Super excited. Keep up with us. We're even though it's quiet season, we're trying not to stay dormant. And I will be back next week to talk closures, because we all need a little closure, don't we?
We do. I need a little pork roll. Do you have any of that left?
In my fridge. Yeah, but I'm apparently Brewer IGA.
Really?
Left somebody over there.
Okay. Yeah.
If I carry it, I'm going to eat it.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's like this weird siren song. No one understands that unless you're from like Central Jersey, but I'm telling you, like, you look at a package of pork roll and you start to twitch uncontrollably. It's that good. But yeah, so go frequent our locally owned Brewer IGA and check that stuff out. And Rich, you know, again, when we can get back to normalcy, I'll whip you up a pork roll sandwich and bring it on over to the studio, one for you and one for Carrie. And speaking of which, I got to check out your personalized sandwich. That looks stupendous.
It was amazing. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So very good. Well, yeah, sandwiches and such galore. But am I out of time?
Yeah, about 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, now I don't even know what to say. I guess we'll talk about do come in and check out our wine of the week, which is in a world of wines that are still getting more expensive by the day. We have the Zestos Garnacha, which is a wonderful value at $12, but even better at $10.79 at the wine of the week value. So if you need a nice Tuesday, Wednesday wine that never disappoints, come on in for that.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Eric. Have a great week. We'll be watching tonight, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, with Message in the Bottle.